You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
A challenge should not intimidate you. A problem should not frighten you, because you are not alone. The Bible clearly says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Every challenge is an opportunity for you to watch God fighting for you. Although it may not always be easy, it may not always be enjoyable, but it is necessary if you want to experience the mighty hand of the Lord working. You see, every great act of God almost always started with a problem. So, here's my advice to you. Don't always pray for your problems to go away. Start praying for the Lord to show himself in the midst of your problems. Don't always pray for your challenges to disappear, but start praying for the Lord to empower you to overcome that challenge. I encourage you to begin to see your problems as opportunities. Begin to see the fight before you as an opportunity for you to see God move and act in a mighty way.
Maybe you're in a dry season and you find yourself on unstable ground. Well, saints, where we're limited, the Lord is limitless. Where we see challenges, the Lord sees opportunities. Opportunities for him to demonstrate his love for you. Opportunities for him to demonstrate his might and power to you. Don't ever become disheartened because you're surrounded by water. And what I mean by that is, in Matthew 14, when the disciples were in the boat, they had nowhere to go. They were essentially trapped. If you got out the boat, you're worried about drowning. If you're in the boat, you're still slightly worried about sinking or capsizing. So the disciples were surrounded by water. They were bound by water. But here came Jesus, walking on the very thing that threatened the disciples, the very thing that restrained and limited the disciples, is what Jesus used to demonstrate his superior power. So don't be discouraged because you're surrounded by water. Don't be frightened because you're surrounded by water. Call out to Jesus, the one who walks on the water. So even if you're battered by the waves of life, you can call on Jesus.
You and I are called to trust God. Now, my own perspective on trusting the Lord is that I don't need to have all the answers, because I know the one who knows all the answers. I don't need to know what the plan is. because I know the planner. I don't need to know the why if I know the one. I don't need to know the how because I trust him.
Someone who has set their heart to trust and believe in the Lord can never be broken. And what I mean by that is, a believer who has encountered Jesus, a believer who has been truly transformed by the power of God, you cannot uproot that type of person, nor can you shake them. And I believe this is to be the case because the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 to 8, the Amplified translation reads, "Blessed with spiritual security is the man who believes and trusts in and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confident expectation is the Lord. For he will be nourished like a tree planted by the waters, that spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear the heat when it comes. But its leaves will be green and moist, and it will not be anxious and concerned in a year of drought, nor stop bearing fruit." A believer who has set their heart to trust in Jesus is spiritually secure. That means you aren't vulnerable to attack. It doesn't make you immune, because we all fall under attack from the enemy at some point, but you're not vulnerable. You're not exposed. Let me put it this way. Think of a house. A house where all of the windows have been left open. The front door is wide open. The back door is wide open. There are no curtains, no blinds, but there is plenty of valuable material inside. That's the picture of a person who is not spiritually secure. They are open for attack from the kingdom of darkness because their trust is in everything but God. But you see, to be a believer who really trusts in Jesus Christ, a believer who really believes the word of God and declares that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, that person is secure.
The Bible says in Psalm 37, verses 3 through 6, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun." I believe that God is pleased when we trust him to such an extent that we can say, whatever awaits me in the future, I'm facing it with Jesus. Whatever comes against me, I'll be protected by Jesus. And here's the thing about faith and trust in the Lord. A lot of times, you'll have to walk with God without knowing. In fact, faith can be summed up in the following way. Faith is doing your part, which is trusting God to do his part. Your part is to believe. That's all you need to do.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And then you leave God to do his part. Your part is to stand on God's word. His word says that nothing is impossible with God. Let me ask you, are you doing your part? Are you believing and standing on God's word. Faith is not necessarily something tangible. It's not something you can put your hands on and control. Faith is the substance of hope and the evidence of the unseen. This means to me that if you can see it, it isn't faith. If you can explain it or control it, it isn't faith. Many of us try to orchestrate and control everything in our lives until one day we're faced with things that are outside of our control. And the truth is, the most important things in life are out of our control. You can exercise and diet all you want, but disease can still come knocking on your door. We can build magnificent buildings and structures, but we must still bow to the power of a tornado, a hurricane, or an earthquake. These things remind us that we are not in control. But I want you to understand that it's during times like these, when we feel out of control, that we are reminded of the purpose of faith. Faith enables us to be comfortably out of control, even though we cannot control things like disease, nature, or death. We have faith that God has a plan and that God will have the last word. And so as we approach the throne of grace, let us ask God to help us to move into a space where we are comfortable without knowing. Ask Him to move us to a place where we can be comfortable, not because we have all the answers, but because we know who our answer is. His name is Jesus.
When you put your trust in the Lord, there is something that happens within you. You have a boldness about you when you know and trust that your steps are ordained by God. So where have you placed your trust? In whom have you placed your trust in? Now allow me to speak about doubt for a moment. Beware of doubt, because doubt is the enemy of faith. Doubt will only ever see the obstacles in front of you. However, faith sees the way. Faith believes that God will make a way even when it seems like there is no way. Doubt will see darkness. Doubt will see despair. But faith will see the day. Faith will see the light. It will see hope. Doubt will cripple you as a person. But when you trust God, you can take a leap of faith. Trusting God dispels all fear. Faith and fear cannot simultaneously occupy your mind and heart. It's impossible. You either have one or the other. Faith and fear cannot exist together.
There is one Bible verse that should really challenge and provoke every believer in Christ. Luke chapter 14, verse 33 says, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." The Bible is saying, unless you surrender all to Jesus Christ, unless you are ready and willing to give up all you possess, you cannot be a disciple of Christ. And so, each of us must ask ourselves the following questions. Firstly, do I want to become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Because that comes at a cost. Secondly, am I willing to forsake everything else for the sake of following Jesus Christ? This passage of Scripture certainly makes me think. One translation of Luke chapter 14, verse 33 reads, "Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple." When Jesus made this statement that you must forsake all to be his disciple, he wasn't just talking to the people who were around him at that time. He was essentially speaking to all of his followers. It's very straightforward. Some may even say it is blunt. he makes it clear that if we do not let go of our earthly treasures, we cannot follow him truthfully. Now, for some groups of people, they may feel as though God is asking too much of us. His requests seem too extreme and inconvenient for us. We may start to feel sorry for ourselves and imagine that we are in a movie where we are the victims and God is the villain. We convince ourselves that God doesn't want us to have anything or to enjoy our lives, but instead wants us to give everything up so that we become miserable and are left with nothing. But we couldn't be more wrong. God came to give us life, and life in abundance. God created the world and saw that what he had made was good. The issue is that we are the ones who mess things up for ourselves. The Lord will only use someone who is willing to give up everything for him. The Bible makes it crystal clear that to be a disciple of Christ, you must be willing to surrender everything else and hold on to Christ and Christ alone. If this wasn't the case, then we would get our priorities all mixed up and end up placing our earthly pleasures and treasures above Jesus. By our very nature as humans, we can be our own worst enemies at times because we are so easily drawn to and attracted to things that offer no benefit to our souls. We push God further and further away in exchange for worldly things, things that are temporary and have no benefit to you in eternity. Take the story in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 to 22, for example. A rich young ruler approaches Jesus, calling him good teacher. The man asks Jesus what he'd have to do in order to gain eternal life. Jesus responds by telling him to follow the commandments, but the rich man explains that he has already kept these commandments his whole life. He further prompts Jesus by asking what else he could do. This time, Jesus answers him, "If you want to be perfect, go. Sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Now, Jesus doesn't say this because he thinks money is bad or that the man shouldn't own any possessions. Jesus knew the man's heart and his thoughts. He knew that the man thought too highly of his earthly possessions, and that this obsession is standing in the way of his relationship with God. I believe that Jesus told this young man to sell his many possessions because he knew that by keeping his material things so close to his heart, this young man would ultimately deny himself entry to eternal life. In a way, I believe Jesus was inadvertently telling all of us to stop indulging in our blessings, but rather to use them to serve others and bring glory to God. And in return, Jesus promises we will gain treasure in heaven. The rich young man probably didn't even hear that part. All he heard was that he would have to lose all of his money. He would have to lose his picture-perfect home and his many cars. But if only he had focused on Jesus' promise of eternal life in heaven, he wouldn't have felt the way he did. We can sense the man's reluctance because Scripture tells us that after that conversation, he went away sorrowful. He was sorrowful. He was given a choice. Give up your earthly riches for God and you will gain so much more in heaven. But that choice made him sorrowful. It was too painful for him to give away his great possessions. We are often so focused on what we have here and now that we get concerned about losing it all. Yet instead, we end up losing sight of the most important thing, and that's eternity with God. In the Bible, Matthew 10, verse 38 to 39 says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it." God knows what is best for us, and he knows our deepest thoughts. He doesn't want to take our enjoyment away, but if we begin to idolize the blessing, then we have a problem. By letting go of or losing the things we idolize, we gain life, spiritual life, eternal life. That's what God wants for us. But we don't do ourselves any favors when we stand in the way of God rescuing us from our idols. In the case of the rich young man, he valued his finances more than he valued God. He laid up for himself earthly treasures instead of heavenly ones. What God blessed him with became his god and idol. Now, could the thing that God has blessed us with become our idol? Could we be rejecting the opportunity of eternal life by seeking something or someone other than God? Are we placing these things above God himself? No matter what God has blessed us with, finances, family, careers, gifts, talents, friends, which are all good things, by the way, we need to be careful not to put any of these above God. For God himself said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." Our God is a jealous God. He wants us to be invested in him. He doesn't want to play a small role in our lives. He wants to have the leading role. He wants to be the main character, the protagonist. But when we don't let go of what's keeping us away from him, he cannot assume his role. As Christians, we should be willing to give up anything and everything for Christ. And I understand that it's easier said than done, but that is the cost. That is what's required, and it's either you're prepared to meet that requirement or not. Our sinful nature doesn't easily allow us to let go of what we hold on to in this life. But when we think of the character of God, who he is and what he has done for us, it puts things into perspective. We only have all these blessings because God gave them to us. Whatever we have is his. Our own lives are his. The breath in our lungs is because of him. He created us and knew us before he formed us. He loves us so much that he created us in his own image and likeness, with a purpose and plan for our lives. His love for us is so great that he gave his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us so that we may have eternal life. John 15, verse 13 reads, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Christ gave up his life for us while we were still sinning. Now, I believe we ought to commit and devote our lives to him, not out of obligation, but out of love for him and desire for his eternal kingdom.
Romans 10:17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If you begin to speak the word of God audibly, repeatedly, you will constantly be hearing the word of God. And that is when faith comes. So if I keep speaking, Romans 8, verse 37, "I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me." If I keep speaking, Deuteronomy 28, 13, "The Lord has made me the head, not the tail." Philippians 4, 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." 1 John 4, 4, "Greater is he that's in me than he who is in the world." If I repeatedly declare the word of the Lord, I hear it. My faith grows. My belief grows.
People of God, don't be defeated in your heart. Don't feel defeated in your mind. No matter what you face, be anchored and fixed on Jesus. The trial you face may not look like Paul and Silas in prison. It may not be a den of hungry lions, but your situation might seem just as hopeless and just as intimidating. However, when you're in the thick of it, when you have nowhere else to go, don't allow yourself to be moved. Be unshakable in your faith. Be unshakable because you have God's promises to fall back on. Be unshakable because you have the Holy Spirit who will be your strength and your helper. Jesus Christ is the only sure foundation in this cold, ever-changing world. He is our steadfast anchor. Circumstances change. People change. Social norms and public perceptions change. But the Word of God remains true forever. So be unshakable, saints.
Now ask yourself, where's your hope? What's your hope built on? What ground do you stand on?
I want to encourage you to make sure that you are rooted in Jesus Christ. Make sure that you are anchored in the one who died and rose again. Make sure that your hope, your faith, is built on the firm foundation that is the Son of God.
My hope? My hope is in the living and active Word of God. It offers hope for the sick, hope for broken relationships, hope for the sinner, and hope for the struggling believer. The certainty of your hope should be based on the Word of God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what makes it so powerful. More powerful than a two-edged sword. So when in doubt, be grounded in the Word of God.
Take the example of Daniel in the Bible. Although he was thrown into the lion's den, he was unshakable in his faith. He was anchored in Jesus. Look at Paul and Silas, beaten and chained up in a dark prison. But they still found the faith to pray and praise the Lord at midnight. Why? Because they knew that the one whom they were anchored to was greater than their circumstances. They knew that Jesus Christ was greater than those chains. He was greater than any punishment they would face. So even if all the odds are against you, continue to trust in the Lord, and He will raise up a standard against the enemy.
Matthew 17, verse 20. Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. This is a powerful reminder of how mighty faith is.
God loves those who come to Him broken with the realization that God has been faithful to them. He has been gracious to them. He has been kind to them even while they were still in sin. So listen, don't be downcast. Don't allow the devil to fill you with shame and guilt when Jesus Christ offers you mercy and He offers you forgiveness. Saints, repent. Be convicted, not condemned.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.